Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. Excuse me, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Monday, June 25th, 2018. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 76, the chapter Into Action. We're reading the fourth and last paragraph that begins with probably there are still some misgivings. And we'll be reading and commenting on just that one paragraph today. Today's readers are Maggie A. with the 12 steps, Brandy M. for the 12 traditions, Ginger C., Marie J., and Kathleen O. And our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, which was the 8:30 a.m. special edition meeting for yesterday, Sunday, June 24th, is 11577. That's 11,577. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Monday, June 25th, is 11578. That's 11,578. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Maggie A. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Maggie A., recovered in Springwater, New York. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Maggie A. And I'll now ask Brandy M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., compulsive overeater in Edmonton, Canada. The traditions, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, Overeaters Anonymous, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Brandy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 76, and we're beginning with the last paragraph. And I will ask Ginger C. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you again for your continued service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Chicago. So probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set the right wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. Yet powerfully packed paragraph. What's not in this Big Book? It's just such a miracle. And it's amazing that Bill wrote this like 2 years sober. Unbelievable information that we're all able to receive today if we're out of the food and doing this deal. And this sentence, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And I have it like triple highlighted because this is one of the most powerful sentences to me in this book. And it's all about what I'm doing each day. This is what I'm here to do now. Life is no longer about me, selfish, self-centered Ginger. It's about me connecting to a power that I lack so that I can do that work for God, because God does not wear flesh. And I have to fit myself to be able to do this work. I have to stay into action. That's how I'm fitting myself to be of maximum service to God, this spiritual fit condition, 10, 11, 12, maintaining, always into action. It's never what I'm thinking. It's always what I'm doing. And persevering no matter what, willing to go to any lengths for this victory. Because, thank God again for every beautiful bite in that pain. A friend of mine recently has been talking about butterflies, and don't you know there's a great struggle with that butterfly before it emerges and it flies. And that's the pain. So if you're in the food and you're in pain, it's serving. It has a purpose, because until you can concede to your innermost self, head to heart, that you're a real compulsive overeater and that you're screwed and that you need help, you're not going to get this program. Step one has to be taken 100%. I know I relapsed many times in OA over and over and over because I always kept it as an option. When life got too hard, I was going to eat. But thank God, again, for that pain. You know, change is not painful. The resistance to it, that's the pain. But it's necessary. It's serving a purpose. And that's the gift. You will get through like that butterfly, and life's going to take on a whole new meaning. And the most amazing thing is that I get to think more about you than me. I've taken plenty from this life. It's time for Ginger to give back. God, who would you have me be? What would you have me do today? I get so excited to wake up each and every day because I know I have an opportunity to be of service if I'm in this fit spiritual condition. So I am just so grateful. You know, in step 10, it says, you know, we have entered the world of the spirit. And step 3 tells me that we were reborn. And it's amazing to be out of fear and into faith. My whole life was so much about worry and worry and worry and fear. And now to believe in this God completely, to trust infinite God and not rely on my finite self, it's so easy to go through life. I get to relax, take it easy, because I'm not steering the ship anymore. God takes me to some most miraculous places, these experiences. I've had some of the most incredible experiences these past 3 days in Chicago. A third step with a sponsee that was probably, I can't even create this stuff up. The story is so profound, I can't create it up. And if you want to hear it, call me. I would love to share it because this shows you that God is working. And the gift is God is down deep within each and every one of us. So it's not far to find it, but it all begins with entire abstinence. Say goodbye to the food. It's no longer serving you. It's not your friend. It never has been. And I just pray that you just put it down and get into action and let your life unfold. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Ginger C. Who'd like to comment on this powerful paragraph, last paragraph on page 76?
Marie J.
Marie J.
Carol J.
Ross G. Carrollton, Roz G. Yep.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Anyone else? Okie dokie. We'll start out with Marie J., Carol K., Roz G., and Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Marie. You'll be followed by Carol.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. This is Marie J., recovered in Colorado. So this step 9, at the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order and be maximum service to God and others. And I have had a lot of experience with step 9 and relapse. I relapsed twice while going through the steps and had to start over both times. And it was really because I could not get humble. I wasn't humble enough to make amends to my husband. I made a whole bunch of other low-hanging fruit kind of amends, but I was really afraid that he was going to judge my newfound spiritual connection. And I didn't even like to mention the word God around him. So it took 2 years to get to step 9 in the rooms before I got to vision. And then I rested on my laurels. You know, I lost the weight. I was a great example to newcomers. I went to 6 meetings a week, and that was recovery for me at that time. But I wasn't humble. I was not spiritually fit. I wasn't being of maximum service to anyone but myself. And I never finished step 9. I never got into 10, 11, and 12, and I relapsed. And then the second time, I was already in vision, and my experience through the steps was very fast. And then I got into fear and uncertainty and doubt about making this amend to my husband. So the second relapse was, thankfully, it was one meal and I was back on track the next day because the power of this vision big book study just got me right back. And it was such a gift because something was missing and I had to get back to step 1 and find that connection to God, to this power that's greater than me, and to learn how to fit myself to be of maximum service in this program. And I don't need to shout that. I don't need to shout God stuff. Especially towards people who might not be comfortable, you know, because I live it today. It oozes from me, you know, and it's attractive. People are drawn to me when they feel the God connection running my show. It's not me, but it comes through me. and it's a part of me. So when the presence of this power is expressed through me, I don't even need to use the words that might prejudice people. I just allow this flow of energy that's the presence, that is God. I allow it to be what it is, and that's God in charge. And my life is so much better for it. You know, I know many of us on this line feel that connection, but I have to be careful about talking about it with those who might be prejudiced. I couldn't hear the message of God in my early days of recovery, and I had to go through a lot to get there. It wasn't a lightning bolt awakening for me. It was a trudge, but it was a happy destiny. It was a happy destiny for me. So I do my best not to shove God down people's throats. It's not useful. It's not effective. And if I prejudice someone with my religious fervor, I may, and you know, likely, I would lose an opportunity to be of service, of maximum service to God. So just let your light shine, man. Thanks.
Thank you, Marie J. Carol K., you're up next, and Roz G. will follow you.
Hi, this is Carol K., recovered from New Jersey. Thank you for your service. You know, this reminds me of the day that I left my house and I picked up a friend and we were going to go yard sailing. And I had one amends left to make, and that was my sister. And I was so scared to go make this amends because she's got violent tendencies and stuff. And I kept doing fear, 10 steps on it. And I got in a car, I picked up my friend, we're driving, and my friend goes, Carol, we just passed the yard sale. I said, yeah, I know. And I wound up driving to my sister's house. Don't ask me why, how. I believe this is the miracle of God, that the hand of God did this for me. And I got to say, when I came into program, I didn't want to hear the word God. I wanted nothing to do with it. And but this is where I was working these steps. This is what happened for me. And so here I am pulling up in front of my sister's house, and guess what? She's standing outside with her dog. And I'm like, I can't believe this. Got out of the car, double parked, got out of the car, went right up to her, and I made an amends. And you know what? I didn't know if she was going to hit me, smack me, but at that point, I trusted God. And so I got out of the car, I did that, I made the amends, and she wound up hugging me. Now, this was a few years ago. Oh, do we have a relationship? No. And that's okay. You know, in the big book, it tells us acceptance is the answer to all our problems for today. It's okay. What I need to do for me is make sure my side of the street is clean. I can't control others, nor do I want to control others. As long as I make sure my side of the street is clean and I do the right thing by God, that's all that matters. This is how I live my life today. And because of that, I'm totally happy. I have a great relationship with my kids. This is another miracle in itself. My relationship with my husband is excellent. We're married 35 and a half years. Till I came into program, I wanted a divorce. We're best friends today. This is a miracle. These 12 steps, I'm going to work them till the day I die, till the day I stop breathing. And if I fall, which I have, I've relapsed, I get back up. You know, there's one thing my parents taught me, and they always said to me, Carol, whenever you fall, you get up. They would never help me up, emotionally, physically, nothing. You got to get up by yourself. And for that, I'm grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Carol K. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Thank you so much, ma'am, for your beautiful service. Eloquent. My name's Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County. And, during my morning prayers this morning, it tells us on page 86 to kind of practice our own religious practice, if we have that. And mine was a particular scripture that talked about self-sacrifice. And our big book tells us service and self-sacrifice. And here we see our purpose is to fit ourselves, to be of maximum service and the people about us. And that includes self-sacrifice. And the biggest resentment the deepest hurt that I've ever experienced was my divorce. And the fact that my ex-husband left, abandoned my children, and really didn't have anything to do with them for 15 years. Lots of resentment on him, lots of step work on him, and lots of recovery on him. And I got to a point, and I think I am still to where I am neutral towards that, those feelings, that relationship. Maybe not, I could be not. But anyway, the point I want to say here is this. My ex-husband is deathly ill with diabetes and heart disease as a result of this disease and other diseases. And he's so sick that, you know, he's one of those guys that pushed everybody out of his life, took everything from everybody. You know, your typical alcoholic who took everything, was a taker, never got recovery. Anyway, the point I want to make here is that he's in the hospital and he's going to be discharged today. And he has nowhere to go because he lives across the border in TJ and he has no dialysis services there. So my adult children and I are going to take him in because he has nowhere, nowhere. And we've set up service, dialysis service for him and a room in our house. And I'm just going to come out of my whole self and be of service to him and to God. Because I want to practice what real forgiveness is and what real grace is. I want to see what that's like. I believe God is calling me for service and self-sacrifice to him. And then also, I'm the head of a singles moms class at my church. And all the resentment I had towards being a single mom and the experiences I had towards it and the support I learned to get through it, I'm sharing with moms at church. So, you know, it's really a beautiful thing how God can take all of the crap and the anger and the misery and the self-pity and turn it into self-sacrifice, giving, and service, and with a joyful heart. And that's how I feel about it today. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Roz G. Kathleen O., you're up next.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service today, and hello, everyone on the line this morning. It's great to be here. I was away this weekend in Arizona, and oh, it's just so nice to be back. Travel is fun, but it's nice to be back. So probably this is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured, to some people we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. And diffident is, you know, modest or shy because of lack of self-confidence. And truly, if, you know, I kind of put myself in other people's places. And if someone had hired me prior to my doing 12 steps, and come and said, you know, that they had found God or religion, I would have said, oh, that's really nice. Now that makes everything okay. I mean, I don't think that's what people want to hear. You know, we've accomplished so much to get to this point. And, you know, pretty much the first 7 steps are really about, it was really about me getting right with me and my higher power. And now on steps 8 and 9, it's about getting right with others. And so it really is about repairing the damage to others. And I realized, you know, by the end of step 7, how selfish I was and how self-centered I was. And, you know, kind of like sick of who I was. So, you know, wouldn't surprise me that other people were sick of who I was. So, you know, step 8 and 9 are about repairing relationships and starting to pay attention to other people's feelings and not just looking at my own feelings and myself. And it you know, those steps allow us to make right the wrongs we've made. And, you know, what I did, and I was actually told to say that I was in a 12-step recovery program. And I found that didn't work any more than going and telling people I had God or religion.
It's like, it's kind of, you know, those two approaches, I think, what I found, my experience was people would think, oh, you're just checking me off your list. So really what worked better and continues to work the best moving forward is I just will go to someone and say, you know, something's been bothering me or something's really been weighing heavily on me. I admit my wrong. And then I apologize without excuses. I bring absolutely none, because, you know, usually there's two parts to it, but I don't do no excuses, not their part, just my part. And that seems to work the best. I keep it short. It, you know, all my amends did not take more than 5 minutes per amends, because when you're only talking about your, you know, what you did, where all the verbiage gets going is when you're starting to tell people what they did wrong. When we look at it, though, it's like, it's very simple what I did wrong, and I don't need to make excuses, and I need to move forward and make do. That was a fast 3 minutes, so I'll pass. Thank you, Elaine.
Oh, a solidly great share. That's why. So much good stuff.
Thank you.
Kathleen, no, thank you. Thank you very much. So we are commenting on the last paragraph on page 76 in the chapter Into Action. Who would like to comment on that very powerful paragraph?
Deborah F. Polly Q.
Deborah F. Polly Q.
Polly Q. Thank you.
Greg B.
Greg B.
Paula R.
Oh, Paula R. Is that right?
Carol. Carol R.
R. Thank you.
Lisa
Carol.
C.
Lisa T. Yep, I got
Lisa
your care.
F-T.
F-T, okay, thank
S
you.
S is in Sam.
Gotcha, Lisa. Thank
Thanks.
You. Anyone else? Okay, this is a good lineup. Devorah S., Polly Q., Greg B., Carol R., and Lisa S.T. Please go ahead, Devorah. Polly will be right after you.
Hi, thank you so much. Is this Elaine?
Hi,
I want to make sure. Yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you so much, and everyone on the line. My name is Deborah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And yeah, I don't know what else I could say that's new, because I'm hearing such wonderful things. And, you know, the message that I'm, you know, the line that I just love, and everybody's talking about it, is, you know, we should not emphasize, we probably shouldn't emphasize a spiritual feature on our first approach. And then, of course, it is, our real purpose is to fit ourselves and to be about maximum service to God and the people around us. And, you know, and that's what this program is all, whether we're coming to make an amends or we're just, you know, whatever step we're on, this is who we are in this program. It's learning how to get out of ourselves and to be of service to other people, you know, putting down the ego and thinking of others. That's the crux. This is the direction that we need to take in this program, and that I need to take in this program, because my whole, you know, when I was eating and not being able to control myself, and the food was my go-to, how much service could I be to another person? I was totally involved in my wants and my needs and my food. And if you bothered me, I didn't, you know, how dare you? And, you know, so that was it, you know, putting down the food. And then all of a sudden it opened up avenues that I can, you know, I can see around me. There's a world out here, and how I could fit myself into this world and be of service to other people. And that, you know, it started with, you know, step one, and it proceeds, you know, into all of us, into all our, you know, everyday occurrences. So here, you know, when we're making the amends, I'm not going to a person saying, well, you know, right now I'm, you know, growing spiritually, so therefore it's time for me to make an amends to you, and I'm sorry for blah, 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 blah. That would really take away it all, because it's just like people have been saying, like, oh, I'm just checking off because it's the proper thing to do after all, you know. But if I'm just going sincerely with that desire that I want to make right, I want to just do God's will, this is something that I see that I need to do, no hidden agenda, not because I'm growing spiritually. You know, we know that in our hearts, but I don't have to say that. I'm doing it because this is the right thing to do. This is God's will. This is what is what I need to do, because it's the proper, it's the right thing to do. Then we're going in that we're getting out of ourselves and we're being of maximum service. There's no hidden agenda. And how beautiful that is, because, you know, it's so easy for me to want to do something for another person and think in my mind, well, you know, what are they going to do for me now? But today, I want to go with a pure heart. I want to go because it's the right thing to do. And I remember, you know, my sponsor saying to me, you know, just we got to live to do the next right thing. And I'd say, well, what is the next right thing? What does that mean? What does that mean to do the next right thing? And this is the next, this is it. Living this program is the next right thing for me. Just trying to be of service, to be out of my way and to be accepting of other people is the next right thing for me. And really grateful for these directions and for everyone on the line, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Devorah. Polly Q, you're up next, followed by Greg B.
Thank you. Thank you, moderator, for your service. Hi, this is, may I be heard?
Yes, you may. Very well. Thanks.
Thank you. This is Polly in Northern California, recovered. The thing that really pops out to me here is our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. The thing I found in doing the eighth and the ninth step when I came to vision was that I struggled to make the amends, to keep my amends to the people that I was closest to. And I didn't really know why, but because I wanted to so much, you know, and they were always on my eighth and ninth steps. When I worked the steps, they were always there. But the truth was I was still so wrapped up in my ego. You know, it was still all about good intentions, and it was still all about feeling really good when I got to those steps. And, you know, it was still all about me. And I think that's the biggest change in this eighth and ninth step, was that there was a real desire to change the way that I thought and to stop thinking about me, to stop thinking about how I felt and how this was a step that had to be done. So I'm just going to take the bit in the teeth and just go out there and say, I'm sorry. And I really mean it this time. I really, really mean it this time. There had to be a psychic change. And that was all about increasing, improving, reaching out and building a relationship with my higher power. Really building one, understanding that this time, these steps, they were not going to be about just working the steps and staying abstinent. It wasn't going to be like that, because otherwise I wouldn't. And, you know, I'm a good white knuckler abstinent girl. So, you know, I could stay abstinent, white knuckling it for years and shut myself off to building a deeper and more profound relationship with my higher power. And that is what allowed me to make the amends, to finally make the amends and keep it, because then I wanted to. There was a psychic change. There was something different in me. And it was being able to finally release this self-centeredness that, you know, I'm always going to have to look for in steps 10 and deal with them in 10, 11, and 12. But now it was finally being willing to be honest about the amends and really want the change. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Polly Q. Greg B., you're up next, followed by Carol R. Greg B. Star one to unmute, Greg.
Hi, it's Greg. Please. Sorry.
Ah, there we go. Hi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good. Can you hear me okay? Good. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, I'm a headset. I was great, Sheriff. Great, great discussion today and reading. Nine step. You know, I was thinking about some of the things people were saying, and it really was relevant to the reading. Many approaches. I was thinking about all the times that I've done nine steps and through the years. And when I first started it, or when I'm really charged up, I'm going to just rush into it like a bulldozer. That's my nickname, bulldozer, because I bulldoze into people's lives, which is kind of like a tornado. Sounds like a familiar reference. And, you know, I would just bulldoze in there and do it. And then I would expect the big attaboy. Wow, attaboy. You're making amends. Yeah, you're okay. Everything's great. You know, that's what I wanted. I wanted something out of it. But why not? I'm an alcoholic. You know, I'm a foot addict. I want something out of this. I ain't going to do all this work and not get anything out of it. Well, we do get something out of it. We get a spiritual awakening. Awakening for me, not a flash, but a slowly realization that this program is for us. It's for you. It's the ultimate act of self-centeredness, because if we want to be one with our Creator, we do these things because it feels good. And because the rewards are being able to look people in the eye, no hidden stuff that we have to hide away from. You know, we're dealing with this stuff. We're dealing with life on life's terms. So I thought about the many approaches, like learning how to park a car. You know, you don't just all of a sudden know how to parallel park. You back up, then you go forwards, and you back up again. You do it wrong. The car's going the wrong way. You can't fit into that spot. You try again. So eventually you start going really slow. You go slowly. You know, you keep making progress and you move, but you go slowly. And then the car parks fine. And that's kind of what this is like for me. Talk to the sponsor. Go slowly. Don't bulldoze into people's lives. And the ultimate thing that people talk about is be sincere. They can tell if you're sincere. Be sincere. You know, and that's what are my motivations? What are my intentions? This is for us. The intention is spiritual awakening, not some kind of reward, like I'm going to have a plaque up there in heaven that says, nice, nine step, great recovery work, Greg. No, for here and now today. So that I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg B. Appreciate that. Carol R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Lisa F.T. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Carol R. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for moderating, and good morning, everybody. I'm really glad to be on the meeting. So I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania, and I'm just really glad to be on the meeting, and I'm right in the middle of step nine. I'm almost halfway through, and so many things jumping out here. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God. And I really appreciate all the shares so far. And up until this time through the steps with the vision group, this is my first time through. And I just found you guys about 6 months now. But I'm thinking that my real purpose was to be of maximum service to me, you know, and as I've been doing the steps, I'm realizing, oh my gosh, you know, and now I have to make amends. And I remember it talks about here, you know, we'll probably have some misgivings. And I remember being so scared to do an amends with my husband, because I got into so much financial difficulties over the years. I was always like trying this and that to like make all this money, and I would spend money and then I would lose it. And I just got into so many problems over that. And he was always throwing that back up in my face. So when it was time for me to come and make amends to my husband, and this is like the last time around, I was like scared to death. Like I put it off for like 3 months. And I remember when I finally got up the courage, you know, through prayer, and finally got up the courage, he was like, it was just like they say in the book, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill. And like, that's exactly the way it was. It was totally unexpected. Like, my husband was just so like proud of me for doing the amends, and he completely forgave me, and he was just like so, what's the word, like he admired me, he respected me for like doing it. And it was like, I was so scared to do the amends, you know. And now I have other amends that I'm afraid to do, and I just have to keep praying, you know, for God to give me the grace. And it's such an amazing program, because, you know, we're cleaning off our side of the street, you know, and we're doing everything we can, you know, to get that spiritual experience and to be of maximum service to God. And that's really what I want to be right now. That's the type of person that I want to be. I'm tired of being like the self-centered, self-seeking. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Carol R. Lisa S.T., you're up next.
Yeah, hi. This is Lisa S.P. as in Paul, calling in from Fort Collins, Colorado. And I'm just loving what I'm hearing this morning. It does remind me of a spiritual detox, and it has to be done with a recovered sponsor. And my sponsor really went over my list of people with me and kind of helped me with that. And I have to remember, I'm not doing this alone. God is right on my right shoulder. Remember the old cartoons with, you know, you'd have an angel on the right shoulder and the devil on the left. And, you know, my lower, one of my sponsors always called it the lower power. And so my lower power is going to not want me to do this, and they're going to tell me things that are disabling to me. But, you know, when I'm in the flow and the spiritual detox, I like to think of it as a detox because it is detoxing in all ways. I'm doing kind of like a physical detox and working with a group doing that, and it's all part of what my sponsor's involved with. But if I don't make I think that Bill W. is really into reading Emmett Fox, and they're always talking about making the demonstration. If I'm making the demonstration and showing that I'm willing, that's all I have to do is I have to just, you know, it doesn't matter what that person says or does. I've made the demonstration, and making all those amends. And I liked what somebody says, you know, there's always the same people on my amends list, and I'm working through with a new sponsor right now. But it's going to be the same friggin' people there on the list, and it's always new things. But I'm making the demonstration, and that's where God is in. He's sitting there on the right shoulder going, yeah, you go, girl, you go, girl. And there was an old documentary about Fred Astaire, and he would dance with this one girl, and he'd say, now you're dancing, now you're dancing. And so that's how it's like God saying, now you're dancing, Lisa, now you're dancing, because I'm doing the deal. I just have to make the demonstration, and that's all. It doesn't matter how people react. It's all good. And, you know, life, I feel giddy with recovery. It's that good. I'm so happy. I'm happier than I've ever been. I'm just going to stay in the flow. And I just remember Fred Astaire saying, now you're dancing. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa S.P. Great picture. So we have time for two more shares. Who'd like to share on the last paragraph on page 76? Star one to unmute if you'd like to share.
Lynn S.
Lynn S. And one more.
Mo H.
Catherine B.
N.
Okay, I got Lynn S. and Mo H. And if there's time for anybody else, I got Catherine N., I believe. Okay, please go ahead, Lynn S.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. You know, it's funny, I was listening to the 7 o'clock meeting, and I'm listening to this meeting, and we're talking about step 9. And guess where I'm stuck? step 9, and I have all the excuses in the world, like I forgot about it, I was halfway through, went on holidays, I've had, just had surgery, all these reasons, which if I'd just done and completed my step 9, I wouldn't have to be having this backup list of excuses on why I haven't done it. And I can tell you, the food isn't, and you know, the disease of compulsive overeating doesn't need any backup excuses. It's right there and ready. And I was just looking at these two lines that are really speaking to me. It says, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. I can't be of maximum service to God and the people about us if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. And I certainly can fall into this trap of being a wonderful talker, but what about the walker? And it's funny when I'm just saying walking, because I had foot surgery, so I can't walk so well right now, and literally and figuratively, but I can take the steps. I can dig out my step 9. There's absolutely no reason in the world why I can't dig that out now and find out where I left off and pick one up and just do it today. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's just putting one foot in front of the other, give me foot or not, and just do it. And the results are amazing. I'm so grateful that God got me up today and listening to the meeting twice. How much more do I need to hear? Lynn, just do it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lynn S. Mo H., you're up next.
Hi, this is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict from Northern California. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. I wasn't going to share, but there was a spot there, because I'm out walking and running. But I just came home from a week-long reunion with 18 family members. And during that reunion, thank God I've made all my amends to my family, something happened between me and a 13-year-old granddaughter. I didn't know it happened. It was something I said. And my son-in-law, the next morning in the kitchen, gently let me know that I hurt her feelings by saying what I said. And thank God I'm in program. What he said, I took with my shoulders back and able to look at him and say, oh, I didn't mean that. I was making a joke. I'm sorry it offended her. I need to make my amends. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. Don't do that. And I looked at him and he said, she's 13. It's going to hurt her worse. So what I did, because it bothered me, is I went outside and made a phone call to a friend to discuss the situation. I didn't feel I needed to do a 10-step around it. And after discussing it with the friend, she had had something very similar happen to her and shared that she did make the amends and it made it worse. And so that was God's guidance to me, to say, just make a living amends with my granddaughter. And for the rest of the trip, you know, we were fine with each other. You know, she moved on, and I just gave it to God, and I just was so grateful for this program that I didn't have to carry around resentment at my son-in-law for bringing that up. I was grateful for him and grateful for my abstinence and grateful that we had some beautiful time together. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for your service, Anita.
Thank you very much, Mo H. And so we have about 2 minutes for you, Catherine. And can you give me the first initial of your last name when you share, please? I thought I heard a Catherine.
It's Catherine B., like in boy.
Excellent. Please go ahead.
Such a wonderful meeting today. So glad I'm listening. Such good stories. And the one I wanted to share, well, I've been doing this. Oh, I'm in Southern California. I've been doing this recovery program for a couple of years now. And the amends that came up to me is how I treated my mother-in-law. She's long deceased. And I was pretty passive, aggressive, and awful to her. When she would visit, she just rubbed me the wrong way. And I just have regretted that so much. And that was a big amends hanging out there. And I shared it with my husband. And the thing is that I have a sister-in-law, and I know she was part of it too. And my daughter got married, and we were all together. And this was on my, I prayed about this. Can I make amends about how I treated her mother? And it was the grace of God. This opportunity just presented itself. And I just kept in my mind was making excuses that, oh, there won't be time, or, oh, I don't. Anyway, there was just a break in the conversation and this open space. And I just said, That's God giving it to me. And so I was able to share with her that I regretted just being unkind to her mother and all that had happened. And she looked at me in her eyes, and she was so appreciative that I said something, and it was such a relief to me to just have that off my chest. It was a huge burden for me. And the whole thing just really connected me to God and just the powerful impact of making amends to people. So with that, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Catherine B., and thank you to everybody who has shared. We're going to transition the meeting by fabulous shares today. Thank you. We'll transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Marie J. please read A Vision for You?
Thanks. This is Marie J., recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.